Okay. It's good to be here. It's a privilege to be here. I'm glad for everybody that turns out here. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I set off at about 6:15 tonight, and I didn't arrive here till 7:05. There was roadworks, and it's just pretty hectic, so I'm glad to be here. More ways than one. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it says this, it says in verse 1, it says, "Though therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Amen? And that's the process of the New Testament church. But notice verse 3, it says, "Though therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And then it says, "No man that warreth entangle himself against the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." So the easy part is following, but the hard part is enduring the hardness that comes with the Christian life. And wouldn't you agree there is a certain hardness that comes with the Christian life? And it is so important just to keep our focus on the Lord, amen? Keep our focus on the Lord, because we all have busy lives. We all have busy lives. And it would be easy if everything was so straightforward, but it's not at times. You don't know what a day will bring forth. You just don't know what's going to happen. So, let's look at the idea of having a disciplined life. Because I believe the most important thing, and that's the title of my message, the Christian, or the disciplined life, okay? And what good is a sword unless you know how to use it? What good is knowledge unless you're willing to live it? See, the Bible says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." If all you have is knowledge, it just puffs you up, doesn't it? It just puffs you up. But it does nothing for you. And it does nothing for this world. What good is instruction unless we're willing to obey it? You see, you can have all the knowledge in the world and yet mess up. Because the wisest man that ever lived beside the Lord Jesus Christ messed things up, didn't he? Solomon messed things up. But I want you to see today certain things about the Christian life. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9, please. 1 Corinthians 9. The Christian life is compared to running a race. Now the running of race, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24, it says this, "Know we not," 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24, "Know we not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that they may obtain." And then it says in verse 25, "And every man that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. Now therefore they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." They did it to get a reed, basically. But we do it for a heavenly prize, amen? And it's the idea, it says in verse 25, "Every man that striveth for the masteries is temperate." And that means under control, amen? Under control, having a disciplined mind where we realize we're in a race and we have to run that race. Amen? Christianity is also compared to plowing a field. Go to Luke chapter 9, please. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 58. "And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Always remember him, amen? And then it says in verse 29, "And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." So this guy was reluctant to follow Jesus because he had commitments to his father. And then verse 60, "Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Verse 61, "And there he said also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are home at my house." See, everybody has a reason for not following the Lord, amen? But Man, 62 puts it in the context that it needs to be. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. The idea is that when you're going forwards, when God is trying to establish your salvation, working out your salvation with fear and trembling, what is behind you is not worth looking at compared to what's before you. Amen? Because what before you is not just eternal life, not just a home in heaven, but the blessings of the Christian life. Amen? The blessing, the faithfulness of a Christian life, just walking with Him each day. Christianity is compared to plowing a field. Christianity is also compared to building a tower. Go to Luke chapter 14, please. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14 and verse 28. And Jesus says this. Luke 14 verse 28. A which of you intending to build a tower, sit not down first and count to the cost, for you have sufficient to finish it. So the idea is, if you're building a tower, you need to know that for sure that you have enough to finish it. And verse 29. Lest happily, after he had laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Hey, you see, I began my Christianity the 2nd of October, 1992. And I want to be some sort of testimony to this world, amen? I remember after I got saved, I was in New York City, and my sister happened to be over there. Mary was her name. And my sister Mary came to me, and I told her that I trusted Christ. She was the first person ever told that I trusted Christ as my Savior. I've been what the Bible calls born again. Now, I didn't know those terms, but I knew I was different. I'd passed from darkness to light, amen. I knew I was different. She was the first person I ever told about about being born again, about trusting Christ as my Savior. And all these years later, I can still go to her and say, well, it wasn't a phase I wasn't going through. It wasn't something that was just kind of a circumstance or something that I was going through. It's something real, and it's still real today, amen. It's supposed to be real right throughout our Christianity, amen. It's not supposed to be like a high and a low. It's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be consistent, amen. It's supposed to be where I'm consistent and where I'm plowing a field and where I'm building a tower and the foundation is sure, amen. Because that foundation is Jesus Christ, amen. Let me just show you a verse. I'm trying to think where it is. It's in Psalms. Psalms 11, I believe. Psalms 11, verse 3. And it says this, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, the big word there is if. Because, see, the foundation cannot be destroyed. That's why we believe in eternal security, amen? That's why we believe that Christ is my rock, and He's the one that leads me, and He's the one that's going to lead me in the future. Amen? The foundation is secure. And then also, the kingdom, or Christianity, is compared to a king going to war. Luke 14 again, please. Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 31. Or what king going to war, to make war against another king, sit not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him, or with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador in desired conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaken not all that he had, he cannot be my disciple. And the idea is, as a Christian, do you realize you're declaring war? As a Christian, you're saying to this world, to the flesh, to the devil, you're saying, I'm declaring war against you. Amen? That's what you're doing. And you're going to have a fight on your hand. Amen? And you have to determine in your heart that fight is worth it. Amen? That fight is worth it. Now, what is the difference between a successful Christian and a victorious, or what is the difference between a successful Christian and a defeated Christian? What is the difference between a victorious Christian and a shipwrecked Christian? Only one thing, a disciplined mind. Amen? Only one thing, a disciplined mind that says, it's worked it. Amen? That's the theme of this month. It is worked it. A disciplined mind. You can't run the race until you have a disciplined mind that is a race that is worth running. Amen? You know, I believe the most important race that's ever run on this earth is the Christian race. Amen? Everything else revolves around it. You can't plow a field until you have a disciplined mind to believe that what's before you is far greater than behind. Because we all have regrets. We all have things in the past that lay us down. But we have to decide that when I'm plowing a field, what's before me is far, far greater. When you go to war, you got to have a disciplined mind to believe that war is worth fighting. Amen? I believe it is. I believe it is. I believe it's the good fight of faith. Yeah. Amen? It's the good fight of faith. And it's worth everything. It's not just worth it for my life, but for the generation after me. Amen? Yeah. And for the impact that it makes. It's worth everything. And it needs to be protected. The difference between a successful Christian and a defeated Christian is that a successful Christian relies totally on the Lord. A successful Christian wants to be a follower of Christ. Amen? One depends on self, the other depends solely on Jesus each day of their lives. Go to John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15. This is a verse that just struck home with me just recently. John 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But the last part of it is so powerful. For without me ye can do nothing. When you come to that conclusion, you're coming to the understanding that you need him. Each and every day of your life. You can't survive without him. Do you realize that? He needs to be everything to you. Every minute of the day. Every hour of the day. He needs to be everything. The more you have going, the more things you have, you're involved with, the more you need him. Amen? The more you need him. And now what is it? What does it mean to be a follower? Or what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? Well, let me just be honest with you. What does it mean to be have a walk with the Lord, to be a disciple of Christ? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean for me personally. It doesn't mean having a scheduled time of Bible reading every day like clockwork. That is just not my life right now. Okay? I've got a lot of things going. I've got 4 kids. I'm very, very busy. I try to have a scheduled life of Bible reading, but it's hard. It is very hard. For some of you, you might have that. Wonderful. That's not me right now. I wish it was. It doesn't mean, for me, it doesn't mean praying for hours upon end. I can't do that. I've tried, and I've failed. Now, my attempt is to be able to do that, but it usually ends up in failure. It's hard to pray hours upon end. It doesn't mean mastering the Bible and every doctrine or rightly dividing the Bible. I believe that's so important. But I believe if you think you know everything about this Bible, you're in for a fall, amen? You will never master this Bible. It is impossible. It doesn't just mean completing the discipleship course and filling in all the blanks, even though that's good and that's the start. That's not the end of it. It begins in your Christian life when you follow him. Amen? When you commit that he's the only one you're going to follow from this day forth. That's when your discipleship begins. Amen? Let's just begin by prayer. Father God, I just thank you so much. Please help me. Please, please help me. And God, you've chosen the foolishness of preaching. You've Lord, you caused just the stuttering tongue, the foolishness of everything. God, you use it for your gain, for your glory, your honor. So please help me this day. And if not, that's okay too, Lord. All things be done for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. The first thing you do to be a disciple is to follow only Jesus. Amen. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. It's amazing. In the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appear to Christ. And Peter comes along and says, we need to build a tent. But then it says, after all that thing was done, it says, then there was just Jesus only. They only saw Jesus only. They didn't see Moses and Elijah. They didn't see all the transfiguration. They just focused on Jesus. And we need to get to the point where we just focus on Jesus only. Amen? And everything we do to follow him. Go to Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. You become a disciple when you simply follow him. And you know what the thing about following Jesus is? Anybody can do it. Amen? It's not that hard. You just take, he just leads you and you take a step following him. Amen? Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting in a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. See, they had to leave the old life to follow Jesus, amen. But it's just amazing how the Lord puts it. Just follow him, amen. Just follow him. Everybody can do that. A child can do that, amen. Anybody can do it. Follow him. You're not following man, are you? You're following him. And you're following him. And he will never let you down. You know, people will let you down. Sooner or later, people are going to mess up. But that's why you keep your focus on him. Amen. You keep your focus firmly on him. You can't say that you're walking after Jesus unless you highly esteem his words. You see, you can't say that you're following Jesus and yet you have a low regard for his words. It doesn't work like that. You will find that his words and the person of Jesus match exactly. They're the same. It was the word that became flesh. Amen. His word is the same. And unless you highly esteem his words, you're never going to be able to walk with Jesus. Amen. The way he wants you to walk with him. Go to 2 John. Chapter 1. You learn to follow the Lord. Actually, just go to 2 John. Second John, chapter 1, verse 6. And it says this. 2 John, verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that we have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. You see, there's a connection between obedience and following Jesus Christ. Amen. It says it this way in John 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. So, if I'm in disobedience to the commandments of the Lord, if I'm not obeying the Lord, do I have the right to tell Jesus I love him? Do I? Do I really have the right to say, I love you, Jesus, maybe publicly, say, I love you, Jesus, but I'm not obeying him. I'm not obeying his words. I don't have the right, do I? So when we say, I love you, Jesus, make sure you're walking in the word, amen? You're following the commandments of Scripture. Because too many people say, I love you, Jesus, but they don't know what it means. It's to walk after, amen. To follow is to follow him, and it's to walk after. Go to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. One of the most amazing scriptures in the Bible is Galatians 5. Verse 16, I know it's a very familiar verse, but if you really look at this verse as a promise. It's powerful. And it says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." What that verse means is, if I focus on walking in the Spirit, I'm not going to be able to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's what I have to do is, I have to stop walking in the Spirit to be able to go back to my old way, don't I? So if I just focus on walking in the Spirit, I will not be able to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's to walk after, amen. Over in the Old Testament, you hear of the children of Israel all the time. They walked after the gods of the Amorites, the different gods of the Canaanites. They walked after the other gods. And God was always all the time trying to draw them back to himself. And we're just the same. You know, this world is so easy to get sucked into. The Bible says this, friendship with this world is enmity with God. Friendship, just being a friend of this world. It doesn't say it doesn't say that it's the love of this world, it's just being a friend of this world. And that's being acquainted with this world. It's to learn from. Being a disciple is to learn from. The Old Testament example, go to Exodus chapter 14. The wonderful thing about it being a Christian, and David Livingstone had this as his life verse in Matthew 28 verse 20, is where he says, "I will never leave nor forsake thee, for the same principle is over, or lo, I'm with you always." That was his favorite. "Lo, I'm with you always." But in Exodus 14, you have a similar statement. It's amazing how the Old Testament is so consistent with the New Testament. Exodus 14 and verse 20. Exodus 14, verse 20. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. No, that's not the verse I'm looking for. Exodus 13, maybe. Written down the wrong verse. This is Exodus 13, verse 20. "And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etam in the edge of the wilderness." Verse 21, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night." So the Lord is faithful, amen. He goes before us. He leads us, amen. Just like he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, just like he leads us today. He wants to lead you, amen. And he is faithful. In the New Testament, John 10 verse 27 says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Amen. And that's where we are today. We're supposed to follow the voice of Jesus. Amen. Follow him. Amen. Not follow man, but follow him. And anybody can follow. Amen. Anybody can follow. To follow means this. It means to leave behind. See, you've got to leave behind some certain things, like the apostles did before you follow the Lord, amen. You have to leave behind certain things. Go to Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 5. And the Bible says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." And it goes on and says, "For which things sakes the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience, in the which he also walked sometime when he lived in them, but now he also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds." Now we are to put off certain things if we're to follow him, amen. We're to put off certain things. I've got to be willing to leave behind a few things, amen, as a disciple of the Lord. It says in Luke 14:33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaken not all that he had, he cannot be my disciple. You cannot be his disciple. Leaving behind the old ways of thinking, amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 26 verse 3, it says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Amen. Psalm 119 says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. Nothing shall offend them. It's amazing. You know, if we get offended in our Christian life, it's usually because we're not close to the Lord. Amen. It's usually because we are away from the Lord and we get offended so easily. It's leaving behind the old way of thinking, leaving behind maybe some of our old friends, leaving, especially for some teenagers today. Look at Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. You know, the Bible says if your foot offends thee, cut it off. Because what's the point of going through this life and burning in hell if that foot offended you from getting saved? And the same way about our salvation. If something is stopping you from growing in your Christian life, you need to be able to say bye-bye. Proverbs 13 and verse 20, it says this. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. See, birds of a feather do flock together. If you're hanging around with bad company, it's going to pull you down, isn't it? And so we need to be able to say, as Christians, we're called to a higher calling. Amen. We're called to a higher calling. Leave behind some of our old friends. Leave behind some of our sinful habits. Leave behind our old way of reacting. You know, I was coming in. I was stuck in traffic or in roadworks today. I began to panic. I began to go, man, I'm not going to get there. It's 10-2. And I'm supposed to... I'm not going to get there because I'm going about 5 miles an hour. But then, you know, the Bible says, don't react the way you normally react. When you're a Christian, you react differently, amen? And the same way we need to react in every circumstance. Because God's in control of every circumstance, amen? If God's in control of every atom in this universe, then God's in control of every car before me, every car behind me. God's in control of everything, amen? So I need to be able to go, Lord, you're in control. You guide me this day. And if I'm late, I'm late. You're the one, Lord, that makes me late, and so forth. So it wasn't my fault, amen? And then, once you've dealt with the old man, there needs to be the new man in Christ, amen? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Back to Colossians again. Back to Colossians and verse 3. And then verse 10. See, when you put off the old man, there's such a need to put on the new man. Or the old man will get back in there. Verse 10. Colossians 3 verse 10. And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Cyprian, bond nor free, but Christ in all. And it says in verse 12, put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Hey, you need long-suffering to raise kids, amen? You need long-suffering. You need a long-suffering where you go, I have to put up with this. I mean, you deal with Sunday school and all those kids running around. You're going to have long-suffering, amen? You're just going to have long-suffering. And then it goes in verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also ye do. And then it says in verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. The idea, you know, the Christian secret weapon should be this. We're family, amen? And family's going to offend each other. You know, you're going to offend someone and you're not even going to know about it. I've done that and I found out about it weeks later. But when we're a family, we've also got charity, amen? And charity is the thing that glues our heart together. Charity is looking at someone's faults, looking at someone's, maybe someone has hurt you, and saying, you overlooked that, and say, it's okay. It's okay. We're family, amen? We're all part of the one family. And that's the secret weapon the Christian has, that if we don't use, the devil gets the victory. Putting on the new man, kindness, humility of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving one another, putting on charity. And then, secondly, it's to follow, amen? Secondly, it's to be under authority, under authority. Now, God established all authorities, didn't he? He established the family in Genesis chapter 2. He established government in Genesis chapter 9. And in Matthew chapter 16, he established the church as God's authority. Amen? And we need that authority over our lives. Now, there's only one final authority, amen? It's the book. And that is, you know, one verse that I tell people in my Bible study, I said, you know, if I'm wrong, if I make some blunder in Proverbs, and I'm wrong, I say to them, well, let God be true and every man a liar, amen? So, you need to understand the book is right, I'm wrong, amen? And that's how it needs to be. The book is right, I'm wrong. And we need to be able to say, the final authority is God's word, amen? It's God's word. We be brethren, amen? We be trying to figure this thing out. But then, let me also say this. Authorities have always been in existence. We just don't realize this. You see, we think, okay, we're falling under the authority of the church. And we think this is such a terrible thing. But we don't realize that before you were saved, you were under a different authority. And it wasn't a good one. Go to Romans chapter 6. We were under the authority of the dominion of sin. And that was the authority over your life. And we just don't realize, just like the cucumber or the children of Israel didn't realize just how much of an entrapment the slavery of Egypt was. We don't realize just how good we have it in the Christian life. Go to Romans, I said. Romans chapter 6. By the way, Romans chapter 6 is such an incredible chapter of the Word of God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So as a Christian, the authority before I was saved was sin. An apple tree produces sin. As a sinner, I produce sin. Amen. That was the dominion that was over my life. But now, thanks to Christ, I'm free. Amen. The Bible says, therefore, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made you free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, 1. So, I have freedom in Christ. Amen. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2. I was in slavery. I was in under the dominion, the authority of the course of this world. Let's just go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Wherein in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So before I was saved, I was under a different dominion. I was under a different authority. I was under the dominion of the course of this world. You were never free. Do you understand that? You were never free. And you will never be free. The only freedom you have is in Christ. It's only in Christ. It's only in Christ. And then there was the authority of the prince of the power of the air. Or what it says in John chapter 8, 58. Jesus looks at the Pharisees and says, ye are of your father the devil. See, we were, our old life had a lot of authority over it. And it was bringing us the wrong way, amen. It was bringing us into slavery. And the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It was bringing us on a broad way of destruction, and Christ rescued you from that, amen, and brought you in. But then he brings you into a different authority. But the authority now you're under is the authority of the church. And it's good. It's good if you have an understanding that it's what you need, amen. You cannot survive as a Christian by reading your Bible, by praying, without the local New Testament church. Amen? You can't. It's impossible. Sooner or later you're going to fall. Sooner or later you're going to mess up. You need the local New Testament church. Amen? And that's what we need. Let me make this statement. The freest person in this room is the one that willingly makes himself slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. The freest person in this room is the one that willingly makes himself a slave of Jesus Christ. Amen? That is the way it's supposed to be. Amen? And then a disciple is one who follows, who's under authority. A disciple is one who is changed. Amen? Who is changed. Philippians 1:13 is one of my life verses. It says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. And what a kingdom it is, amen. And just how dark it was back there. Psalm 40 says that your feet were stuck in the miry clay. And God rescued you, amen. He picked you up out of that miry clay and he rescued you. He put your feet upon a solid rock, amen. And established your going. A life that is changed. You know, that's the result of being a disciple of the Lord. Where the Lord leads you, he guides you, and he brings you on a path. And maybe it's a difficult path, but he brings you on that path so he can change you. Amen? Because the whole idea of being a Christian is a changed life. A changed life. Amen? A changed life. It comes. It's a part of the Christian life. It's from what I now am. Amen? It's what comes a lot of times. What I am right now, I'm a fallen creature. Where if I'm not walking in the Spirit, my tongue is going to get me in trouble. Amen. My tongue is going to get me. My motives of my heart are not going to be pure unless I'm walking with Him. Every circumstance in my life is going to be a problem. Amen. Go to Psalms 52. Psalms 52, dealing with the area of the tongue. Dealing with the area of the tongue. And it says this in verse 2. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Man, how incredible descriptive is the word of God. Amen. Just like a razor blade, man. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. And it goes on and it talks about just how deceitful our tongue is. Amen. Hey, if I'm walking with Christ, shouldn't I be able to control my tongue? Amen. Shouldn't I be able to where I have victory over those things that bring me down? Where I've controlled what comes out of my mouth. Yeah, I believe the Bible says we're to be slow to speak, amen. Swift to hear, amen. Where we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're careful, amen, about things. Careful. It's from what I now am. But God wants to change me into what I one day will become. The new life. And let me just say this. The most important thing that I've understood in my Christian life is the new life cannot be experienced until the old life dies. Do you understand that? The new life cannot blossom unless there's a death to the old life. There's an absolute where you come and you sign the death warrant and say, that old man is dead. And you reckon him to be dead and say, it's a done deal. He's dead. Go to John chapter 12, please. Because unless you're willing to completely kill that old man, where you reckon him dead, according to Romans 6, then you're never going to experience the abundance of the new man. John chapter 12 and verse 24, and this is a proof verse here. This is a proof verse for that statement. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." See, the way we have the abundance life, the way we have the abundance of the Christian life, is there has to be a death, a complete death to the old life. Amen? In every area of our lives. Not just in sinfulness, but in the way we think, in the way we understand things, in everything, the way we deal with things, the way we rely on Him for our strength. Amen? A death to the old life. And then the fruit of the Spirit. Then, as soon as that old life dies, and as soon as you focus on the new life in the Christian life, then the fruit of the Spirit is produced. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 22. Again, this is a promise from the Word of God. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no..." Now there's 9 characteristics there of the one fruit. Do you understand that? If we could just focus on one of them, love. If you had God's love in you, man, what a difference it would make. I'm not talking about a human ability to love. I'm talking about God's love in you. The kind of love that turned this world upside down. Go to John 17. Sometimes we just need to focus on one area. Because as Christians, sometimes we get too much knowledge, too much understanding of the Bible. Well, we would be better off if we just focus on a few essential things. Amen. John 17 and verse, and this is Jesus' high priestly prayer here. And he's praying before he goes into the garden. And John 17 verse 25 says this, "O righteous Father, the world had not known thee, but I have known thee, that these have known that thou hast sent me." And he's talking about the church that is coming. And verse 26, "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." That's the kind of love you rarely see within Christianity. Because most of us can counterfeit a kind of love. But it's not God's love flowing through us. It's not Calvary's love. It's a love we make up ourselves. Because if I've that kind of love in me, man, it will show. It will show. Now go to Matthew chapter 22, please. Matthew 22. When a disciple puts off the old man and puts on the new man, when this love begins to blossom, when Jesus becomes all and everything in your life, it will show. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and this is talking about in verse 36, the Pharisee or the lawyer, I believe, in verse 36, asked this question, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus says in verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And then it's easy to love your neighbor as yourself, amen? Because your neighbor could be your worst, the person you hate the most, the worst enemy in your life. But if you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, man, you fulfill the law, amen. It talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says the Israelite was supposed to do, amen. And it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, having victory over the sinful past, amen. That will give you strength to do right, having victory over the sinful past. And when David stood before the giant Goliath, And I mean, David is looking and he's seeing all. He's seeing Saul. He's seeing all the men of Israel, the mighty men of Israel, all cowering before this Goliath. And David is just a wee lad. He probably is a teenager. Probably a mid-teenager kind of range. But the secret weapon that David had was this. He had past victories, amen. We need some past victories so that when the Goliaths in our life show up, when the trials and the valleys show up in our lives, we have past victories. We have confidence towards the Lord, amen. We have confidence towards the Lord in our life and where we can have the victory over him. And David says he's not a cause. And David faces that Goliath with a sling. And he faces him and he knows it's either God's going to bring him down or else I'm goosed, as we say. But David relies that was the Lord was his confidence. Amen. The Lord was his confidence. And then it talks about a changed life of what we will be one day. Hey, you know, we're going to sit in heavenly places. All of the struggles of this life are going to be over. Every struggle that you've ever faced is going to be over with. You are going to be with Jesus, and all of the past, all of the failures, and all of the victories, one day is going to be over, finished. Let me just show you a verse in 2 Corinthians. This is one of my favorite verses. I have a lot of favorite verses, but this is one of my favorites. Second Corinthians 4, verse 16. Now, Paul is talking here about persecution and so forth. But I just want you to see in verse 16 onwards, which says, "For which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, working us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. For while we look not at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal." See, one day all of the struggles of this life will be over. Every defeat will be finished with, and it will just be you and Jesus. Amen. It will just be you and Jesus. And every struggle will be worked at. Amen. Every valley that you went into, you will see the hand of God in there. You will have a full understanding of what God was trying to do in your life. All the questions that you wanted to ask will be answered one day, amen. Because you'll have full understanding, a full enlightenment. He will be the one day. And it will be a changed life. One day, right now we're trying to go from one place. We're trying to go from this life to being more Christ-like. But one day we're going to have a complete change, amen. We're going to be just like him, amen, in every area of our lives. And where sin will not molest, amen. Let me give you the greatest example of a changed man in the Bible that I think of is Peter. You know, Peter one time struck off Malchus, the servant of the high priest. He struck off his ear, and it was in defense of Jesus, but it was also in anger, in rebellion towards authority. He struck off the high priest, or the servant of the high priest, Malchus's, right? But then I want to see in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, you see a different type of Peter. You see a Peter that's gone through the valley, gone through the trials of life. And in 1 Peter, you have the beginning of persecution. There's a guy named Nero. He begins the persecution of Christians. And the test is, are Christians going to be real? Is Peter going to be real? And then I want you to see in 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. No, that's not it. 1 Peter... Actually, I think it might be 2 Peter. Let me just try that. Nope. Verse 7, okay. Of 1 Peter, is it?
1 Peter, verse 6.
Nah, that's not it either. It's actually a verse that says about we need to honor, it says honor the king. verse 17, is it?
Chapter 2, verse 17.
That's it. It says this in chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, the only thing that is important about that verse is the king was Nero. And Nero was killing Christians at the time. And Peter, as a changed mind, says, honor the king. Even though he doesn't deserve it, give honor to the office of the king. Amen. And that's what a changed life is. That's what how God can change you so much. He can take you from a rebellious, where you're against yourself, and where you're just trouble upon trouble. God can change you in one day where you can be have a spirit where you're in obedience even to an ungodly king. Amen. To what we become one day, amen, and then to be more like the Master. The object of a person who wants to follow the Lord is to be more like the Master, having the mind of the Master, amen. Go to Philippians. Won't keep you much longer. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 5 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now the Bible doesn't say put on the mind of Christ. It says just let it be in you. So that means that you already, once you read God's words, once you read the Bible, you already have the mind of Christ. You're just to let it, amen. You're just to allow it to occupy every part of your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's just to let it there. Having the mind of the Master. Once you fix the mind, everything else follows. Amen. The heart follows, everything else follows. Once I fill my mind with the Word, the old stuff is automatically pushed out. Amen. Just once I allow God's word to saturate my mind, once I allow it to get down to my very being, to my heart, and I allow it to cleanse my heart, the old stuff is automatically pushed out. Amen? That's the way the Christian life is. That's why the mind of Christ is so important. Once I reject an ungodly thought, once something comes into my mind and it's ungodly, and once I get rid of it, I automatically go back to the mind of Christ. Amen? That's supposed to be the Christian walk, amen? It's a rejection of ungodly things. Having an attitude of the Master. Daniel chapter 6, 3 says, Daniel had an excellent spirit. Having an attitude of the Master. An attitude where we're not concerned about self, amen? Because it goes on there in verse 7, it talks about Jesus here. It says, but made himself of no reputation. Hey, just think about that for a second. Jesus made himself of no reputation. I mean, not even a small bit of reputation. That goes against the very core of our being, amen? Because if you were to make me of no reputation, man, that's humbling, amen? That shows me how much pride I have in my heart. When I think of, If I was to become like in Psalms 84, it says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. It's an easy verse to say. It's a hard verse to live. Amen. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in tents of wickedness any day. So Jesus made himself, he had an attitude where he made himself of no reputation. And it says in verse 7, but made himself no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and made himself in the likeness of men. And it doesn't even stop there. It says, then he humbled himself. He had an attitude, and he had a humility, having a humility of the Master, and being found in fashion, and made of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Hey, he starts off way up here. He starts off in fellowship with God, amen? In perfect fellowship with God. And he humbled himself all the way down to the very, very bottom. And he did it for you and for me, amen. He humbled himself. Even though he was the God of all, the creator of all, even though he made the wood that where he hung upon the cross, even though he made everything, yet he humbled himself so low. And that's the example that we follow him in, having the humility of the master, and having the love of the master, amen, and having the goals of the master, pleasing the Father. You know, Jesus pleased the Father at all times. Now, unfortunately, in our lives, we're not going to do that all the time. But we are to strive to do that, amen. We're supposed to strive to do that, amen. Bringing glory to the Father, singing praises to his name, amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Sometimes, you know, maybe you get offended or something like that. You kind of want to hang on to it. Do you know what I mean? You kind of like want to hold on to it for a while because it makes you feel good. I mean, let's be honest. Someone offends you, the flesh gets all kind of going inside. You kind of want to hold on to that thing. But you know what? The Bible says this in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. It says, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Yes. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hey, sometimes, would you agree with me? It's not always easy to offer the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes you have a bad day, and sometimes the rug is pulled from under your knees, from under your feet, and sometimes you feel like this whole world is falling down around you. Sometimes it's hard to praise his name, isn't it? But once you offer the sacrifice of praise, God is well pleased, amen? God is well. Don't go by feeling, go by faith that God has saved you from that miry clay, and God is worthy of all praise, amen? God is worthy of all praise. Pleasing the Father, singing praise to him, even though we don't feel like it, impacting this world for Christ. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. That's the purpose of the Son of Man coming to this world, and that should be the purpose of the Christian getting out there. Amen. Sometimes you feel like as a disciple, you feel like it's two steps forward, three steps backwards. At least that's sometimes how I feel in my Christian life. But you know, even if I get two steps forward, even if I at least attempt to live the Christian life, I believe God honors that, amen? And I believe if we struggle just to do right, if we struggle to be disciples of him, God will honor that, amen? And even though it's hard at times to follow, he is still worth following, amen? He is worthy. Because when you get the revelation, you realize how big Jesus is, amen? You just realize how incredible. The angels and the worship that's going on in heaven today, if we could just capture that and bring it down into our lives, man, that would be exciting, amen? Just to see what's happening in heaven up there, just to bring it down to our lives. The life in between, or Jesus didn't come just to save us from hell, he came to give us to be new people in Christ, amen? To be a new man in Christ, where our light would shine forth in this dark world. And the Bible says, you know, the world might be dark, but we still, the darker this world is, the greater the light the Christian should be. Amen? The moment that I decide to follow the Lord is the moment I become a disciple of him. Amen? It's to follow. It's being under his authority. Amen? I'm not under Bible BC or Bible Baptist Church of Ballincollig's authority. I'm under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if he puts that authority over me, well, then I'm under it. Amen. Because I'm under the local New Testament church. In being changed. Amen. In being changed. You cannot say you're a disciple of Jesus Christ unless God is changing you in some way. Maybe it's small way, but God has to be changing you little by little, amen? God is supposed to be doing something in your life, amen? And it's being like the Master in every decision you make. And I realize this about being a Christian. You know, sometimes it's hard. It's hard just to focus on being truthful in every statement you make. Just try for a day. Just try to be 100% truthful in every statement that you make. It's hard. It's hard. And then you realize just how far above Jesus was than we are. It's hard to be truthful. It's hard to love people who are against you. People who are against maybe your children. It's hard to love them. But we as Christians, we're called to do that. Amen. In being like the Master. It begins when we have a disciplined life, when we live after Him. And you can have a good time. You can have a scheduled time reading your Bible, and that's wonderful. Like I told you, my life is chaotic for the most part. I'm here when it's busy and things like that. I have to run my race. You have to run your race. Amen. We're only responsible to Jesus Christ at the end of this life. Amen. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for being so good. Now, please, Lord, I tried. And thank you for being so good to us. I pray you'd bless your people. And I pray you would use God's word and use the Bible just to change our lives. And me first, Lord. Thank you for being so good. In Jesus' name, amen.